White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 740.
Hey, this is Stan White, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
Big times at Big Cat. Let the big cat eat. The AU Wishbone is next.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. Now everybody,
come on everybody. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
If I had an air horn sound effect, I'd be blasting it. I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty happy. Pretty happy. So what is going on in your house aside from celebrating over an exciting Big Cat weekend, which I'm sure is the primary thing you're doing?
It's really just kind of Big Cat weekend hangover.
Yes.
That's really what's happening. Too much fun, too much excitement, and Monday was just like, too much what? Big Cat.
Too much big. Boris says there's never enough Big Cat, but it was. It was, in fact, John.
It's Big Cat Weekend 2023.
There you go.
Was that a lawnmower? What was that?
That was the big cat eating, my friend.
Okay.
That was just the big cat eating. I'll put that in my pocket now and save it for the next time it comes up, which I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Oh, yeah. You don't want to hear, when you hear that sound, you better run and hide and find somewhere safe to get to because the big cat has come to eat. Big cat has come to eat. All right. Well, this is what everybody's been waiting for this week. I know. If there's been one so far that people have been waiting for, it's got to be it's the Auburn Fun Meter. It's where we rate between 0 and 10 how much fun we are currently having as an Auburn fan. And if you say 4.5 this week, I'm going to call you a liar and I'm going to end the show right there. So I'm okay. Interested to hear the number. How much fun have you been having the last few days as an Auburn fan?
I want the listeners to know that I have thought a lot about this fun meter number, okay? Because I've had serious kind of existential conversations with myself, like how high a number can I say when we haven't played a game?
That's not part of it.
I'm again last week I think I was a 5 or 5.5 or something. Yeah, something I'm gonna like say 8.5.
Well, I'm not
all time high for me on the fun meter.
Wrong.
That's my answer to that.
Wrong. Come on, man.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Blame yourself.
That's right. The soundboard has a lot to say to you, John. You know the main thing the soundboard says when you say 8 or whatever you just said?
I said 8.5. Listen, when the listeners start some kind of underground betting pool about the fun meter and what my number is going to be, and they're betting like the over-under, then you'll remember this moment. But I think 8.5 is reasonable given my previous numbers for an off-season.
If you're celebrating at 8.5 right now, then
we got to get better at celebrating.
There you go. There you go.
Soundboard has rebuked me.
It's pretty much, you've pretty much been rebuked by like 2 from each column so far. I've been working my way.
Okay, Mr. Quick Trigger Finger, what's your number?
I've been working my way from right to left across the soundboard. Oh my gosh.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I know, it's true. It's true. I don't know. I think my first thought was
touchdown Auburn.
So 7.
um, I'm going to go 9.5.
Okay. Okay, Bister.
Because.
Take shots at me for going. Wow. A full point higher than me, and I got the full rebuke from the sound.
Oh, second verse.
When will we save that for the post-Alabama game?
Yeah, it's true. It's fair. Well, no, it may be that I was only a point higher than you, but I prefer to look at it as I was only a half a point away from a perfect 10.
Fair.
That's how I'm looking at it. So I don't have the post fun meter anymore. But in any case, I think what we need to do is to...
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
That's the fact right there. I can't tell you how many times I was tweeting out that little meme and playing that little sound effect in my head. All because a couple of youngsters decided to go to school at a certain school, right? It's a weird, weird system we live in, but yet it gives us hope. It gives us vindication. It gives us promise for the future. It gives us the potential for now. Excuse me, I think it's... I mean, it's... It just, a whole lot of stuff comes out of this, strangely enough. And meanwhile, over in Tuscaloosa, they get, yeah, because they dropped to like sixth in the recruiting rankings, losing a five-star. And I saw something to the effect of that we now have way more Alabama top 20 players recruits than they do. We've got like 8 or something, and they've got 3. Okay, of the state
Van,
of Alabama.
I'm going to let you in a couple secrets here, okay?
Uh-oh.
In the state of Alabama, there are 4 five-star players.
Yes.
In this current recruiting class. One's committed to Texas A&M. Yeah. One's committed to Alabama. And 2 are committed to Auburn.
That's
and
right. And
there are about 17 four-star commitments in Alabama in the next recruiting class. And Auburn has 8.
Wow. This is unheard of in at least a long time. And we would have had the dude that went to Texas A&M, except money talks.
And it may not be over, so.
It may not. It's pretty amazing, though, right? I mean, we gotta admit that what we've seen happen lately, and I saw, I guess, Josh Pate, whoever, I only saw the beginning of his video about it. I'm going to go watch the rest of it later. But he said something like, you know, when we saw what happened in the transfer portal, and we saw how Freeze closed out, the fraction of the end of the last class, we should have known that this was possible. I think we knew it was possible. I don't know that we thought it was going to happen.
I want to be super clear about something. This was always possible at Auburn.
Yes, yes.
But the previous coaching staff and the late Gus staff could not deliver, and I think had lowered their expectations from thinking this was possible.
Yeah, those who thought it was not possible.
Potato.
Those who thought it was.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Saban.
All right, so let's walk through it chronologically, and then we could get to the how we feel about it thing a little bit more. So
let's do it.
Wednesday it started. We knew that DeMarcus Riddick was announcing and that he was going to decommit from Georgia and either come to Auburn or Alabama. And the five-star linebacker chose Auburn over Alabama.
Holy cow! Oh, my God!
That was it. Yep.
This guy is a big-time five-star linebacker, an incredible athlete, a guy that can cover people over the field, that could honestly play safety, could be a pass rusher, could do it all, and, you know, is the kind of athlete that the highest level linebackers coming out of, you know, college football are. He is an incredible athlete. And so that is a gigantic commitment to make our defense back to where we want it to be, you know, 2019, 2004, those levels. So then we have that momentum heading into Big Cat weekend, and then the players are all together. They're having fun. They're playing by the pool. They're having a water gun fight. They had a scavenger hunt and all that kind of stuff. They're bonding with the current commits, the current players, the coaches.
Where was this happening at?
at Auburn, at Big Cat.
It's Big Cat Weekend 2023.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up.
I walk right into that one, ladies and gentlemen. So then, and this was where this is where the strategy part came in. Four-star wide receiver Malcolm Simmons,
yes,
from Alexander City, announced his commitment to Auburn midday Saturday. Now, he had secretly been a commitment for a while, but the coaches asked him to keep it a secret because they knew he was coming to Big Cat Weekend, and they thought they might get Riddick, and then they wanted somebody on the grounds to announce a commitment to Auburn to kind of start some more momentum to encourage the other players to follow suit. And so Malcolm Simmons kept his commitment a secret and announced Saturday midday he was coming to Auburn. So then that started, you know, kind of the movement, right, where there were some other big players there, and they were getting excited thinking about it. And then the one Van has been waiting for.
That's it.
The one Van has been saying he couldn't wait for this one to happen.
Of fire.
That's it.
Five-star Perry Thompson flipped from Bama to Auburn.
That's it. That's
crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the
Saban.
And there was a great reaction online. There was a great Auburn social media team did an amazing job. They captured video of him, you know, committing to Auburn. That the recruits picked up Hugh Freeze and threw him in the swimming pool. And they captured that in the video, and that was great. And the Auburn fans, you know, were incredibly excited about this. It's a gigantic. I mean, just 1 second before we get to other fan bases. Perry Thompson is a five-star wide receiver who's an absolute stud. He's like 6'3", 200 pounds.
He's Julio Jones, too, from the same high school,
yes,
right?
He's from Foley, where Julio Jones went. The last five-star receiver from there was Julio Jones. He's not as big as Julio Jones, but he is a great athlete, very fast, and he's big. He is going to be a star wide receiver in college football, an absolute playmaker, the kind of guy you've seen come out of LSU and Alabama, Ohio State the last 5 years. That's the kind of player we're talking about, and it's huge. This is the thing that Auburn hasn't had. The last five-star wide receiver Auburn signed was?
The last five-star?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Was it not three-name?
It was Ben Obomanu.
Really? Okay, because I was thinking that our three-name guy from 2016, 2017.
Nate Craig Myers, I think one service had him as a five-star, and the other two had him as a four-star.
All right.
And Duke Williams, I think, was a five-star, but as a JUCO guy.
Right, right.
So we haven't signed a five-star out of high school, a consensus five-star out of high school since Obomanu. I mean, and Thompson is like the number 15 overall player in the entire high school class.
I loved what he said. He said two things that were funny. Well, he said one thing that was good and one that was funny. He said what was good, he said, sure, I could have gone to Bama, like any old thing, right? I could have gone to Bama, but why not go to Auburn and build, you know, build my own legacy, whatever. And I'm sure that's one of the things that they were, you know, selling him on. And then he also said, they asked him, did you talk to the Alabama coaches? Have you told Nick Saban yet that you're going to Auburn? And he said something like, yeah, I talked to Nick. They wanted me to come up to his little cookout thing, but I said I was going to Auburn. I just love that he called it his little cookout thing. I was on the floor. That was so good.
There were a lot of other top recruits in the South, some who were committed to other schools who came to Auburn this weekend.
Yeah.
It was clearly the place to be.
Oh, Big Cat has in the past had the potential to be an event for recruits and players, even if they're committed somewhere else. They just know they're going to have a good time, be around other players that they like and everything in their recruiting process. It's just that, you know, certain people that I will not name, that guy, just didn't take it seriously and didn't put any effort into it and half did, and it became, you know, much less. But, you know, people that have seen it this year and saw it the last couple of years have said it's night and day. It's absolutely night and day how they did it this year. And that's what you got to do. You got to take it seriously and... Yeah, so they did, and
so,
man.
So how? What is your perception of how other fan bases reacted to Perry Thompson?
They, I don't know which sound. There's like 15 soundboard clips I could play, but I'm just going to, I'll shoot all of them. I'm going to say they, all right. They, so many tweets I saw over the last few weeks, like confidently talking down to Auburn fans. Oh, you're not going to get him. He's not going to Auburn. You're just silly. Silly little Barner. Silly little Auburn fan thinking you're going to get him. It's never going to happen. And, of course, you know, the five stages, there's the five stages of an Alabama fan losing a recruit. The first stage is he's never going to Auburn. You're delusional. And then the next step is, or one of the next steps, I haven't really thought this through yet, but one of the next steps is, well, we didn't really want him anyway. And another one of the steps is he
was paid.
He was paid. Another one of the steps is he's overrated or he's afraid of real competition with going to Auburn, playing the hardest schedule in the country every year. It's just so predictable, right? This is what they always do. I even saw one that was saying, well, he's gambling on his future now and he's never going to have as big of a chance to make it successful in life now. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Get out of here. It's just, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. But it's how they cope. It's their copium. They light up a big bowl of copium and breathe deeply until they pass out.
But I think, again, if Alabama, younger Alabama fans, younger Georgia fans, their perception of Auburn is that they're not competitive with us, with those schools in recruiting. And so this is kind of a shocking development.
That's the thing, though. That's you put your finger on it is the one of the, all right, there's two completely separate downsides to us having such a roller coaster of success and not success over the years. One is that we can't enjoy sustained success. We go right back down to having a crappy team every few years. But the other thing that we don't think about as much is, you know, you and I, and people even younger and older than us, we have some perspective on it, right? We say, well, we're down this year. We'd be down for a couple of years. But just a few years ago, we played for the national championship. A couple of years before that, we won the national championship. But these recruits, especially the ones that are 16, 17, they don't even barely remember Cam Newton now. They got short memories. And if you don't
they were five.
Yeah, if you don't have sustained success, then the years that they remember are not good years, and they think that's forever. It's like, you remember, this was a really good example, is that somebody said that Chizik was recruiting, I guess back in like 2011, 2012, Chizik was recruiting a really good player, and the guy said, well, but, you know, Alabama's, you know, got a better program than you do, whatever. And Chizik said, we have a winning record over them the last 30 years. And the guy just kind of looked at him and laughed, as if Chizik was lying. But we know that that's true because Alabama didn't pull ahead in the last 30-whatever years until last year. They are ahead by one now over us over the last, like, 30 years or whatever. But these guys, they only know, like, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. They don't know the last 30 years. They think Alabama's dominated since the BC era. They don't know about the 80s. They don't know about anything before
early 2000s.
Right, exactly.
Six in a row.
Yes, exactly. The whole Tuberville thing might as well be flint knives and bearskin rugs to them. They don't, you know, so we've got to sustain success, not only so that we can enjoy the success, but so that young people growing up will see a successful Auburn as a viable alternative for where they play their college football. We've got to, because otherwise we become Mississippi State or something, and they don't take us as seriously as they do Alabama and Georgia. And it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle at that point.
That's right.
So, but I enjoy other fan bases being mad. And you're right. They were indeed mad. They were not happy about all this. They do not want to see us. I got the hiccups so bad tonight. They do not want to see us getting back into the competitive mode. Not at all.
It is very exciting. Auburn has a lot of momentum and positive buzz, and it matters in recruiting because I think guys want to be like, hey, I want to go with those other guys. I want to go play with those other top players in this class. And so there is some real buzz with some other top players. One of the top defensive linemen in Mississippi was on campus all day today, Kamarion Franklin.
I like it.
The next big recruit to commit is KJ Bolden, a five-star safety from Buford, Georgia. He's going to announce next Saturday. I think Georgia and Florida State are in it, but he said he almost committed to Auburn on Saturday.
Yes. I knew that one of them said he came really close to just jumping in with all the dominoes falling there. Yeah.
And I think he feels really good, and I think Auburn's going to be in at the – you have a real shot with him. You know, 2 weeks ago I would have said we had a 1% chance.
Yeah.
And now I think we have a real chance. And this guy's an absolute star on one of the best high school teams in the South. Mm-hmm. And he had very positive things to say about Freeze and Auburn coming out of Saturday. DeAndre Carter, the big
California
four-star offensive lineman from California – I think is very close. We'll probably commit the next week or two. That's another big get. And then there's a couple other guys out there. So
a four-star offensive lineman, Auburn, really? That's unheard of. It's how long has it been? You know,
it's been a while. And so
Calvin Ashley, and he didn't even work out.
That's right. So it's been a while. I mean, we were talking earlier about DeMarcus Riddick and Perry Thompson. It's been a long time since we signed two five-stars in the same class. So,
oh, gosh, yes.
So where does Auburn stand overall in recruiting at this moment?
Last I checked, 17th overall in the country, but that's up. Remember just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were not in the top 50.
Yeah. We were like 40th or something.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time not long ago having to scroll all the way to the bottom of the top 50, and I never did see us. And I'm like, well, I must have missed it. And I hit more, and it went 51, 52, 53. Oh, there we are, 53. So now 17th overall, but way better than that in terms of average player quality, because we still don't have nearly as many players as most teams do, most programs. And yet when you take the total, you take the average of what we have, It's in the top five. And I think we moved up to like seventh maybe in the SEC, but that's with Oklahoma and Texas, and it's with the teams ahead of us having some quality but also more quantity than us.
Yep. I'd like to get up close to 20 before the season starts. I'd like to get at least 17, 18, 19 before the season starts.
Pull in more four stars, I think we'll be easily in the top 10 nationally,
yes,
and in the top four in the SEC, which with Alabama and Georgia in there and the way LSU's going, the way Florida's recruiting right now, that'd be incredible.
It would be. It is amazing, you know, and it's a really different feeling because for the last 5 to 7 years, Georgia and Alabama have gotten whoever they wanted, and Auburn was not competitive for the very top players.
That's right.
And what Auburn is doing is the thing that you and I talked about that is the long-term thing we have to do to be successful. Like, we have to change the recruiting and getting more talent if we're going to make a long-term thing. The transfer portal thing is great for infusion, but it's not the long-term recipe for success. This is the long-term recipe for success.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I do have to say, like, it's not over for the guys that Auburn lost out on, and it's not over for the guys that Auburn got. Other schools are still coming, and none of these recruitments are over until they move into the dorm.
That's exactly
not just
right.
Sign, but show up on campus and get in the dorm. So other schools are going to keep coming and coming and coming at these kids. So there's more drama to come, but I also think, you know, the more of these guys that commit, then they're together in with the other guys. Do you know what I'm saying? And then they can support each other when they get schools pushing on them. So.
And we know from history that even getting a giant AU logo tattoo is not even enough.
No.
If when Alabama comes pressing their wants. You know, one thing that strikes me as kind of interesting, though, I hadn't thought about it until now, is that one way that Alabama is hurt by NIL. Think about this. Here's one way that NIL hurts Alabama. Before, Alabama would say, yo, here's some money, here's some cash, here's an untraceable ATM card, right?
Here's a job for your family member.
Yeah, and if we didn't want to do that, then Alabama's going to win. Now, they no longer have the monopoly on paying players, right? In other words, everybody gets to do what Alabama was already cheating to do. So they've lost their competitive advantage in terms of being the only ones that were throwing out, you know, wads of cash.
I'm not going to pretend they were the only ones cheating, but I also think, like, one of the things that Alabama did very well in this, you know, the past 50 years was work the friends and family members, get them a job, get them a car, connect them to things, and then use those people to keep the players in line with their commitment.
Oh, yeah.
But now that doesn't work because the player is getting the money directly and they know what the deal is. And it's not
exactly
the other people getting these offers. It doesn't matter.
I'm telling you, it's like you're the shady drug dealer and all of a sudden the dispensary opens up in the neighborhood. They don't have to deal with you behind the porta potty anymore. They can go right out and go to the checkout counter.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean, why do you think, you're exactly right, why do you think so many family members would get so, not just upset, John, remember when these players would announce and they would surprise flip to Auburn when they announced and the family members would get frantically upset and there would be like crisis meetings behind the school, you know, school gymnasium. And after like a half an hour of a frantic family meeting, the recruit would come back out and say, okay, I'm going to Alabama. Why do you think that happened? Because those jobs and that money had flowed to all those relatives, and they were afraid they're going to have to give it back. They're not going to have that job anymore. They're going to have to give that money back. They're going to get in big trouble. They need their son, their grandson, their nephew, whatever, and they need him to live up to his side of the deal that got them that job and that money. But those days are gone. So you can say what you will about NIL. I call it leveling the freaking playing field.
It's truth. And this is the other thing. They have. This is. We got to give Freeze and his staff credit because no one has seen them a game on the field yet.
Yeah,
they don't have anything to show the recruits yet in terms of what the product will look like that they are selling. And well, I think that's actually a could be a positive thing because what if this team is really exciting and fun? And I'm not talking about like they're going to go win the SEC. I'm saying what if this team is like entertaining and makes big plays and does fun stuff, and the players on the team are having fun playing football.
Yeah. One thing that makes me think of is Nick Saban in his first year had a mediocre recruiting class, and he went 6-6 with what he had on hand, and then he pulled in that huge recruiting class.
Yes.
So you don't have to go 12-0 after you're in your first season to still be attractive to players.
Yes.
And the other thing they did was that Perry Thompson said that Freeze had him in there in the film room showing him how he would use him. He was showing him video from Liberty saying, here's what you'll get to do. Here's how it'll help you personally. Here's how it'll make you a good player, a better player, and make you attractive to the scouts and everything, NFL and all. So he's showing him, you know, even though I haven't coached a day at Auburn in Auburn, I can show you exactly what I'm going to do with you. So, you know, it's not like he's never coached before. He's got film he can show. Yeah. I mentioned earlier that picking up Thompson did two things that are significant. One was it dropped Alabama from number 3 to number 6, which is just by itself, that's hilarious. I hadn't even thought about that. But taking players away from Alabama doesn't... some guy on Twitter's like, well, we're still number 1. He tweeted out a picture of the rankings of Alabama number 1, and it was the 2023 recruiting class rankings. We're like, that's not what we're talking about here. You're looking at the ones that reported back in February or whatever. And it moved us up, number 7 in the SEC. But again, that's not counting. That's with the small number still. We could actually move ahead of Alabama depending on how things go the next few days. And when was the last time we could say that?
I'm not holding my breath about that. But I think if they, again, a top 10 recruiting class in this class would be gigantic and cause for parades. That's my feeling.
Yeah, well, just getting a top 10 class and a legitimate top 10 class with players that can really contribute pretty early. You know, we've talked so many times about how Gus did pull in a few top 10 classes, but it always seemed like they weren't quite Terry Bowden players that, look good on paper, but then they just sort of evaporated before they got to campus. They got to campus, and then they evaporated, you know, it seemed like.
No, I mean, I think there were some players that really came through, but there was the lack of good sustained recruiting on the offensive line and quarterback were what did it in. So,
well, it just, we had so many players that didn't pan out. That's the only thing. Right. For every, you know, for every Derrick Brown or Seth Williams, you know, there was a Rock Thomas or, you know, or a
Calvin Ashley
or some, or the big defensive lineman that's like the number one recruit we've ever had, and he just did nothing for us. So, yeah, it just, for some reason, it just never quite panned out. But, yeah, we are currently 5 nationally on average player ranking behind Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and USC. That, at least the last time I checked. I don't know. So that's pretty amazing. Throw in that along with we were in the top 5 on the transfer portal, too.
All right. A couple other things I want to talk about before we get to position previews. I meant to say this last week, and I forgot about it. There's something Freeze talked about at Media Days, and then it came up again this weekend, is Freeze talked about the turnaround did not begin when he started or when they signed the signing class or when they got the big wave of transfer offensive linemen. He talked about the turnaround for Auburn started before he ever was hired, and it was the night of that Texas A&M game that we were at. And he said that it showed the recruits, the players, the coaches, what was possible at Auburn. You know, the fans did that for a team that was out of contention and had been, you know, had fired their coach and been going through a bad year. And it really just brought excitement and hope back into the program where it had been lacking. And that game really, really, really mattered. And Justin Lee wrote a big article in the OA News this weekend about it, and I saw that, and that's what reminded me that I had meant to say that last week when we were talking about Media Days. I thought that was important and something we need to remember going forward. And you know, again, thank Cadillac for what he did there.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Just huge. Absolutely. All right. Fall practice?
It's right around the corner. Woo! They issued equipment today. Not far away, so... I know we're going to be getting camp reports.
Oh.
You know, be scrimmage before you know it. So that's exciting. And the other big news today was the transfer portal van. It opened up.
It's not done. We thought the TARDIS was back in the garage.
Tonight's forecast: a freeze is coming.
Wow. We thought it was back in the garage, but the portal opened up again. Sometimes the portal taketh away, but this time...
the portal giveth. Well, actually, in the last week, the portal giveth and taketh away, and I'll get to the taketh away in a minute, but...
All right.
Dylan Senda is an offensive lineman who is a high school recruit who signed with Northwestern last December, enrolled in January, went through spring practice at Northwestern... and last week, Northwestern fired their football coach. And so he's eligible because as a freshman who just signed on a team that fired their coach, he's eligible to transfer without penalty. And he is transferring to Auburn and enrolled today. He's a 3-star offensive lineman. And if you're not familiar, Northwestern has put some guys in the NFL in the last 5 years on the offensive line. So that's it's a good thing to be an offensive line recruit there. He's a 3-star offensive line recruit and a guy that could play multiple positions on the line. So a valuable guy. And, you know, he's in campus and in Auburn now and will go through fall practice.
You know, our transfers from the Big Ten tend to work out usually pretty well. We had our fullback that came in 2012 and played on the 13 team that we liked so much. We had our defensive back that came from Ohio State. And we've had a few others, and they seem to work out pretty well. So
we got a couple on this team. So we'll see. We got a defensive lineman from Purdue and Maryland, and now we got this guy. We got Ohio State wide receiver. So
Maryland.
Maryland. Every time I say that, I have a hard time.
Maryland,
Big Ten, but they are. So, it's a good. And this is the other thing I just wanted to say about Senda is we've signed some transfers who were kind of one-year rental guys, right? Like a couple of the wide receivers we brought in. They're like this year only, and then they're gone, and we're going to need guys for the future beyond behind them. And a couple of the offensive line guys are like that. But we've also signed some guys like Caleb Burton, that wide receiver from Ohio State, who's basically the same as this guy. He's a freshman. They got 4 years left. So that part is very exciting. We got some – basically like signing a true freshman three-star tackle in August. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And we'll take him. I mean, we'll find a spot. So that's very, very good. Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And another offensive lineman can always use those. And like I said, because he's there, he'll be there longer. We've got some that'll be gone immediately. They're just coming in to plug a hole, so – you have to do it all over again, so that's good. Is it time for this week's installment of the Auburn position previews?
It is. It is. We're moving forward. We're still on defense. So we work our way through the secondary. We did cornerback and safety after special teams. Now we're going to do star nickel. And you'll hear it called both things, and we'll talk about what does that mean. And but the, again, the goal of these is to talk about who we've lost, who we gained, and but also kind of what does it look like in the new scheme. So before we get into the nickel, we did safeties last week, and I mentioned a guy named Caden Bridges as a backup safety who played a little bit last year as a potential. And since our last podcast, he has gone from the team out the transfer portal.
Oh, hey-ho. So I was going to say Caden Nash Bridges, but I guess he's Bridges over troubled water now.
Thank you. Thank you for both of those. He's
sure.
Bridges over the River Kwai. So he's he's gone and
okay, go ahead.
We have we had two other backups that, you know, that we're going to play, and then we have a number of talented freshmen behind them. So I think we're going to be okay. But again, it's tough to lose somebody right before fall practice. So all right, what is? I'm going to take 1 second just to talk about football for a second. About what is this nickel star position, why is it important?
Okay.
As you know, offenses have moved to more wide receivers and more spread and more spacing, defenses often have to go with more defensive backs, smaller players, more versatile players, and less, you know, old school 260-pound linebackers or whatever who stood in the middle and absorbed the run up the middle three times in a row. So you need guys who can both cover and play the run, who could cover a bigger receiver, a small receiver, a tight end, cover running back out of the backfield if they had to, but could also come into the box and help and stop the run and do those kind of things. And so the nickel or star position is that guy. It's generally, you know, the when we say nickel is because you have five defensive backs, right? And you're playing five defensive backs. So it's basically the third cornerback. We have two corners, two safeties, and then the nickel. And you'll see in Ron Roberts' defense, they'll call it a star, which is a little bit, in some defenses, almost more of a, you know, a less of a corner and more of a safety linebacker kind of thing. But it's still basically a nickel cover corner, because a lot of times the other team has three receivers on the field and you have to have three guys who could cover a receiver.
I seem to remember Ellis Johnson calling it the star. That's because that was the position that he was recruiting the Alabama, the kid that we ended up losing to Alabama, whose dad was a running back for us.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
His dad's name is Allen.
But that's exactly what we're talking about here. And so we have another returning starter at this position, another experienced, talented player. Keontae Scott is a guy that we signed as a JUCO player a year or two ago. Really good. Also, we talked about him as punt returner. Very valuable and underrated player as a nickel on this team. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the whole team, honestly, because he's really good at this. He does a good job covering his man. He supports the run. He makes plays. And I think he's dependable in being in the right spot and not blowing it. On backups, we have Donovan Kaufman.
Yeah.
Remember him, the Vanderbilt transfer, Vanderbilt, undersized, but a solid player. And Scott and Kaufman are both juniors, so they both have a little bit more eligibility, but we do need to start thinking about the future. And then behind them, we have two younger players backing them up. Caleb Wooden.
Mm-hmm.
So Colby Wooden's younger brother is a sophomore, and he's the primary backup. And then Austin Osbury is a guy mentioned as a safety who can also play star or nickel. So those are the two backups. I think Kaufman's a, you know, an experienced guy, played a lot since he's been at Auburn. So I think he, you know, will play a good bit. If we go to, you know, six defensive backs against some teams, I think he'll be out there a lot. So I think you expect to see Scott and Kaufman play a good bit or rotate a good bit this season. But again, another position in the secondary where Auburn has depth, experience, and a good bit of talent, I think we're going to be really good in the secondary. I think we'll be solid, the team's strength. And I feel pretty good about it heading into the season.
Austin, welcome to Asbury Park, New Jersey.
So next week, I'm going to give you a choice again.
Oh, boy. Let me hear it.
Your regular linebackers or the Jack pass rushing linebacker?
We got to do the Jack pass rushing.
All right, that's who we're going to do next week. So you have that to look forward to? Ordinary. All right.
All right. Let's see. All right. So we're going to quickly point out to everybody that we have an episode coming up. We got several special episodes coming up over the next few weeks. We have, of course, the barbecue episode. And this is not some little barbecue that Nick Saban would invite you to. Oh, no. This is like the barbecue of college football. This is the AU Wishbone barbecue special. And the barbecue will tell us how each team in the SEC, including Auburn, is going to do this fall. And notwithstanding what one of our patrons says in just a few seconds, it is infallible. It is take it to the bank, as George W. Bush famously said. Sometimes it's even correct. We are going to talk at some point about Al Borges' Deny of the Tiger book, one way or another. That's coming up.
Before the season starts, that's going to happen. Maybe next week. We'll
see. Maybe. And while I still remember it. And what other special episodes we have coming up? Anything I'm forgetting?
We're thinking about another interview before the season.
Yeah.
We'll follow up on that.
It always gets kind of frantic in August because we have to figure out when to do the barbecue show. And the season's about to start, so we know that's going to be crazy. And I'm always out of town when the season starts because the football gods and the sci-fi fantasy con gods don't see eye to eye other than that they should have their giant cosplay events at the same time. So so I will actually be doing... Oh, here it is. I will actually... And this is not a guarantee. I'm only suggesting that maybe... The Auburn game, is it like the 2:30 Central Time game on Saturday, right? Yeah. The UMass game?
Yeah.
I will... Possibly, and this is not anything announced. If Regina Kirby listens to Auburn football podcasts, I apologize. I'm not predicting anything, but there's a possibility that on the Saturday at 2:30 that Auburn kicks off against UMass, I will be doing a panel in the high fantasy programming track at Dragon Con called 9 Princes in Amber for Beginners. So I'll be telling readers why they should read my favorite book ever. Okay, so yeah, I mean, Auburn and UMass, I'm definitely going to want to watch the replay as soon as possible, and with modern technology I can do it as soon as the game is over as soon as the panel's over on my phone, which is so crazy. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that maybe, so we'll see. Anyway, Dragon Con's awesome. So all right, we got all that coming up. We have a new Auburn book coming, and dang a mighty, John, you and I have been busting our tails the last few days, especially on this thing. I know you've spent a lot of time the last several days on it. I know.
Yes.
We spent like an hour and a half the other night working on it together over StreamYard here, and I spent a good chunk of today working on it. And we have one big interview we've already done left to kind of transcribe and blend into the text. We've got a little bit more to kind of write and talk about. We've got to get some more commentary from each other for it. But this thing is coming together fast. And when I get momentum working on a book, whether it's a sports book with you or whether it's one of my novels or something, when I get that momentum, I don't stop. I'm down here 2 o'clock in the morning working. I can't stop. And so... When do you think this one's going to be done? I'm curious what you think.
Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't ask me that kind of question on the air.
I think it can be done in the next couple of months.
Yes. No, I think it could be done. I think it come. I think it could come out during football season. I'll say that.
That would be ideal.
Yes.
That would be ideal. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I'd have a trunk full of them at Arkansas. Sell them out of the back of my car at Arkansas.
Hey, over here.
Yeah, buddy.
Car.
Check it. Have a big trench coat. Hey, check it out, huh? Auburn books. So we'll see. And we have any, but like I said, we're going to do a YouTube video, Twitter video, whatever, where we announce what it's about, what the title is. We reveal the cover, talk about it a little bit. That'll be fun. Maybe we'll see if, once it comes out, maybe we'll see if some of our other fellow podcasters and video people want to have us on again. They were very gracious with the basketball book and other stuff. So
I like it.
All right. Meanwhile, we have to thank the folks that keep this show on the air. We do not do ads. We rely on you, our listeners, to support the program and keep it going. And if you want to join their ranks, and I know that you do, especially before football season gets started, we're going to be really covering it strong. We're also going to be, John and I are going to be going to the Arkansas game, hooking up out there. I think Mira's going to go. I think my daughter Maddie and her boyfriend are going to go. See, I don't think we haven't told the folks that Maddie's boyfriend just got a job in administration at Arkansas. So we got connections to Arkansas now. So they want to go. So that'll be really neat. He even had a red T-shirt on at dinner the other night with the hog on it. I'm like, oh, there it is. There's the he and Maddie came walking into the restaurant, and I was like,
there they are.
Yep, there it was. There was the pig. So anyway, we're going to do that, and we appreciate your support for that. I don't know about John, but you may be going to another game. I'm going to try real hard to get to the Vanderbilt game because that's only about 4 hours from me.
I'm definitely going to go to a game or two in Auburn.
Yeah, for sure. So there you go. All right. So if you want to join their ranks and help us out, go to www.auwishbone.com. auwishbone.com. There are other cool things on that website, by the way. But there's also the big orange button, the fabled big orange button, to push to become part of the ranks. Here are the fine folks who have exercised, some of them, their bonus power of being able to put whatever they want in their name, and I will read it when I thank them, and it can even be soundboard clip requests. So here we go. And first off this week, I want to do a special shout out to our good friend and supporter, Samuel Salvatore. Samuel is always so good to us, and Patreon had some kind of a software glitch that messed him up, and so I may have left him out of the thanks a couple of weeks ago or last week. It wasn't his fault, and they've got it squared away now, and so I apologize if I left him out because I knew he would be there for us. So Samuel Salvatore, Boris the Tiger's burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Logan Chilton. By the way, Samuel didn't say anything to me about that. I just felt bad and wanted to say that. Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, David W.D.E. Sammons, Esquire, loves...
It's Big Cat Weekend 2023.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up.
There you go. He loves it more than pizza and wonders what Spud was doing all that time. It's a good question. Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says...
No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated! They're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst! No!
I got to give Phil the entire clip. I emptied the entire clip into Phil. He deserves it. Richard Stevens, good old Richard. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, good old Willie. Oh, no. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it. Our next patron says, Merry freaking Flipmas and empty the soundboard of...
forecast.
There it is.
A freeze is coming.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Freeze.
Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice.
Winter. Five.
Frozen. Ice.
Freeze.
Winter. Ice.
Ice.
Freeze.
Winter. Winter.
Freeze. Cold.
Frosty. Love it. All right. I've emptied the clip twice now. And another one says... And flip Fantasia. Oh, I don't have Fantasia.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
There you go.
There they are.
I want you to put the word out.
All right, very good. Alex Brown's Ben Bloodworth bleeds orange and blue, calibrating my fun meter in the back room of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yes, sir. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby Frosty. I love it. We have a patron this week that's named Frosty. Mark, of course, always wants me to find a random sound clip. And let's see, which one have I not used in a while? Haven't used this one. You know what? Haven't used this one in a while.
You lied to me.
Oh, that's true.
Release the hounds.
It's true. John suggested
smoke weed every day.
And that's fair. I haven't used that one in a while.
They'll be here any minute.
Yeah, they will with the weed, apparently. Let's see. Jacob and Robin Fleming. Oh, I hope they come to Dragon Con this year. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Milton, Yeager. Yeah, hear me talking about Dragon Con some now. We're getting toward that time of the year. Football season, Dragon Con go together. Both occasions for otherwise mature people, more or less, to dress up in fancy colors and costumes and go out in public. Lane Middleton, Mickey B. No one fights like Gaston. Algo, Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf. Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan. The dad who invented knock-knock jokes should receive the Nobel Prize. There it is. Oh, we've killed John. We have to get CPR on him now. Theodore Gary, Todd Robinson, Warhammer 6. By the way, that's the other trend besides soundboard requests and their names is dad jokes. So we got all kind of things going on here in the Thank the Patron segment, which has become one of our most popular segments of the show. And John can just sit back and enjoy it. It's nice. WDE Richie, well, I have to push all the buttons and say all this. WDE Richie, I told my wife I wanted to be cremated. She made me an appointment for tomorrow. Yeah. Weagle Weagle. Wes Atkinson, what do you call God? What do you call a pile of cats? A mountain.
That's one of the worst ones we have had.
They are scraping rock bottom this week, John, but I respect the joke, man. I respect the dad joke. I do. When a T, oh, here we are still, it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. Keep them coming. When a T-Rex cuts wood, he uses a dino saw. Says 76 Tiger Esquire Sleazy Shyster and owner of a Roy Kent jersey. Oh, okay. Because not that many Dragon Con people listen to this show. Some do. Several do. I see a number at my reading usually. I don't even think I have a reading this year. But I have two Roy Kent jerseys now. And they're going to be two of my five wardrobes for Dragon Con. I'm not saying this is going to happen, Regina. It's okay.
But it might.
It could possibly be that I'm on a panel about Ted Lasso. It was suggested to me that I might not want to be on that panel because I don't, you know, it would be taking time away from being at my table. And I said, I'll give up an hour's worth of sales and autographs and stuff to be on a Ted Lasso panel. So we'll see if it happens. The rule at Dragon Con is no panel is official until it has already happened.
Fair.
But we'll see. That would be nice if that should happen. We'll see. But yes, I've got the Barcelona looking red and blue one, and I got the orange one. And they're both gorgeous. Nike. Oh. When Coach
Potatoes
heard about Big Cat Weekend, he was heard mumbling. Oh, I took it away, didn't I? Oh, no. Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. I got rid of one, but it wasn't this. When Coach... All right, let me start over. I messed it up again. When
Potatoes.
Coach, yes, him. When he heard about Big Cat Weekend, I won't push that again, he was heard mumbling...
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
That's right. That's right. I'd like to put Potato on trial, but then people would start yelling.
You are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order.
Your entire coaching staff is out of order.
Is there a sound clip button you have not yet pressed? Again, we're in the middle of Lister of Rec thanking the patrons.
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, no, this is important, honestly. Hey,
there you go.
And I say you!
You asked. There's a couple more. It really is bringing them all out tonight. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, Auburn Blue. This is possibly the longest Thank the Patron segment we've ever done. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger.
What?
Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Die Bama, and...
Jones, Barbecue Foot, Messiah!
Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Except it's not done yet, because Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a Peter Parker. Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87. Why does it feel like we're not far away from a tweet that says, if you have facts about a violation, send it to compliance at Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Air Ben Zane, I'm missing my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Darren Pyle, did A.D. Cohen go to Hoth to find and hire Coach Freeze? That's right. Elizabeth Donald,
we got to get better at celebrating.
I get my way because I am persuasive. I am Tiger. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rain says...
You have failed me for the last time.
To the barbecue, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
I keep forgetting to get new versions of those that'll sound better. New York Tiger thinks the AU Wishbone podcast is the best part of Tuesday, but full disclosure, Tuesday sucks. Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I am at the bottom of this list because...
God bless it!
While you can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brent Rumble, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank every one of you for giving us such a great bit of entertainment there. I just love the Thank the Patron section. Go to www.auwishbone.com. There you go.
Thank you for those. I think you can do better on the dad jokes. That's Ooh. My challenge to the listener.
Woo, better dad jokes. Is that a contradiction in terms?
Maybe so.
We'll see what they can do. John says bring it. All right, a quick look at the Fantasy Formula One standings. We had the, Belgium Spa this past weekend. Mm-hmm. They're on a break for like a month. They'll come back to Zandvoort in the Netherlands in about a month. Currently, number one, Teamy McTeamface. This is our Fantasy Formula One league for patrons. Number two is Tiger Transit. Number three is Sir Bacon the First. Number four is Scuderia Toro Plexico. I had a terrible week. I picked the wrong week to go to McLaren with my team. Ugh. Cheeky Nando's, Mississippi Racing, Aubie Mobile, Scuderia Aquila Guerra, Smokescreen 45, and Solitaire. There are your current top 10 in Fantasy Formula One. And now it is time for everybody's other favorite segment of the show. Guess the game. And what do you say to Jerry, John?
Bring it on. Who can
it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 102. Game 102 is brought to you by Ash R from Twitter. Let's see what Ash sent in.
The setback. Here's the second down play for from the Auburn 11. Six-man rush. Going to throw in the end zone. Pass is intercepted. Wide open at the 10. To the 15. To the 20. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. Giving chase. Won't catch him. To the 30. To the 20. To the 10. He is gone. 95 yards. Touchdown, Auburn!
All right, guys. I will see you in the hint file.
All right. The announcer was...
Jim Fife.
Which means the time frame is...
Around 81 through 2002.
Okay. And so we have a 95-yard interception return for a touchdown in that time frame.
It was it was not Chris Davis.
No, and it wasn't the 2019 Iron Bowl either.
Right. That was the other famous.
It wasn't that one, yeah. Right? So a couple of games come to mind.
Okay.
Right. I couldn't tell from that clip if it was home or away, but like 93 Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That one's been talked about a little bit recently, yes, on Twitter.
And the 94 LSU.
Oh.
Was one of them that far?
I don't know
if one was.
That's a good call, but I feel like the LSU interceptions were all shorter. I feel like they were all about 40, 50 yards. Yeah. I don't feel like any of them were really long.
So my gut is 93 Florida. Do you have a thought of another game?
Let's set the stage for that. Florida under Spurrier had come in 90 and absolutely destroyed us in Gainesville and then beaten us really soundly in 91 and 92. In 93, with Terry Bowden, it was expected that we would lose even worse to Florida. But hope springs eternal, and I was there, like, fired up, ready to go. That was when I was in my first year of graduate school at Auburn, after I transferred back. And Florida scored the first 10 points, and it looked like, oh, here we go. Here we go again. And then it was 10-0, and Danny Werfel.
And they were 10-0, and they drove down the field again.
They drove down the field
like
again.
A hot knife through butter.
It's about to be 17-0 in the first quarter. Spurrier has his foot on the gas. No mercy. He's just going to kill us. And Calvin Jackson stepped in front of the pass and went back the other way for a touchdown. So instead of 17-0, it was 10-7. And I believe after that, we outscored them a good bit, and then they came back and like tied it at the end, and we had to kick the field goal. What a great game. What a great game that was.
All right, let's listen to the hit file and see if we can pick up any clues that it is Florida.
If we hear Calvin Jackson, then it's a case closed.
Gentlemen, we are in the hint file. We're going to get rid of some bleeps and give it a listen.
Red to setback. Here's the second down play for Werfel from the Auburn 11. Six-man rush. Werfel's going to throw in the end zone. Pass is intercepted right over to the 10, to the 15, to the 20. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. Giving chase is Werfel. Won't catch him. To the 30, to the 20, to the 10. He is gone. 95 yards.
There you go. I will see you guys in the answer file where I have all the confidence in the world in you.
Calvin was a student in a class that I was the teaching assistant in, but I don't remember seeing him very often that quarter. But he accomplished what he needed to accomplish. I'm not complaining. All right, let's go ahead and have our suspicions confirmed. 93.
All right, Florida. Gentlemen, if you guys figured out that this is Auburn versus Florida in 1993, then you win again. And I want to thank Ash R. for sending that in. If you want to be like Ash and send in a play for Guess the Game, I can be found at lots of different places. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, man, John, whoa.
All right. Thank you, Jared. That was a good one.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Ash. I knew from the first second of the hint file because they talked about Rhett, and Eric Rhett was their running back.
It wasn't Rhett Lashley.
No.
Yeah, Eric Rhett was a great running back for that team, for sure, yeah. It was just amazing to me that, and of course, Werfel was great and won the Heisman, right? But when Spurrier first came in 1990, he had the players that Gary Darnell had been doing, like the handoff option play for before him, Captain Kangaroo. And he turned them into that high-flying passing team, and they were awesome, and it was unbelievable.
They chewed us up.
Oh, that 90 game.
It was brutal.
We went down and scored. I believe we scored first. It was 7-0. And then they went 48-0 on us. I think it was 48-7.
Yeah. I watched that with my current in-laws, and it was not a pleasant viewing experience.
I rode down with the with Karen Henson and Steve Robbins, and it was not a fun trip on the way back. We were all depressed, but they were great. All right, well, that was our Guess the Game, and now we have to say...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
There they are.
What we got?
All right, we have a number of listener questions this week. A lot of them are short, but they're some pretty good ones. First is from Theodore Roosevelt, who says,
Mr. President.
It's that time between the start of August and the start of the season, which means I've dived wholeheartedly into those 30-minute cut-ups of old games.
Oh, yeah.
Besides any games featuring Auburn, what are your favorites to go back and watch? I've also enjoyed those old Oregon offenses that run circles around some unfortunate team.
Oh, that's a good call. I'm going to have to do that. Yeah, I usually watch old Auburn games, but I feel like I've seen them all a million times now, thanks to the miracle of YouTube. Haven't had to drag my old VHS tapes out in years. I have a bunch on the Plex server I haven't had to use either because everything is on YouTube. But, yeah, I don't know. What else? What do you watch besides Auburn?
I mean, I like to go back and watch Auburn games, but like this year, for example, I've gone back and watched some Ole Miss games from when Freeze was a coach here, and I've gone back and watched some Baylor games that Ron Roberts was the defensive coordinator of.
Oh, man. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. You said Baylor. I thought you were going the other way.
He thought I was going to Tulsa.
Oh, I thought that Montgomery was the offensive coordinator at Baylor that did all the stuff with RG3.
Well, he did, but that was before. And then he was, right, Roberts was the defensive coordinator at Baylor like a year ago.
Okay, so it wasn't out of line for me to go there, just not who you were talking about.
It was okay.
All right, good. Had to get it in sometime tonight.
That's fair. I can probably go back and watch some Tulsa. I just haven't done that yet. But I like to, there are great games that I enjoy that I want to go back and watch because they're really fun, or that I didn't get to see because I was watching Auburn at the same time and where I was traveling that weekend or whatever. Like, again, there were some great, great college football games last season. And some of them are absolutely going back and worth watching. I'm trying to think of a game that was like I think like the 30-minute cut up of the last year's Tennessee-Alabama game is really fun, right?
Yeah, I gotta watch that again.
I think that's a good one. I think Michigan-Ohio State last couple years has been a fun cut up to watch.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of years, there's some good Big 12 games that are always just like bonkers.
Oh yeah,
And then some of the Pac-12 games involving some of their good quarterbacks. Some of the games involving Washington or Oregon last year were pretty good. So.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. Next question's from Lane Middleton, who says, "I'm guessing the excitement meter will be a little higher than 5 this week." It's truth. And then Jim McCrory says, "I've seen where Bruce Pearl has like 14 of Auburn's top 15 all-time rated basketball recruits."
That's true.
My question is, where does the Thompson and Riddick commitments fall on the all-time football recruit list? Who are some of the other players on the list that puts these commitments in perspective?
That's good.
He said, "I think Thompson could be the highest rated receiver recruit ever."
I guess that's possible, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you mentioned it's been Obamanu
up to now. So and I don't think he was as high nationally as Thompson is. Riddick is really go ahead.
That was a good class though. You had Obamanu, but you also had Aroma Shadu, who was a 4-star. Anthony Mix, Courtney Taylor, Courtney Taylor should have been a 4 or 5-star. Based on how he performed. You never know.
He was a small school guy. I think that was part of it.
Right. Right.
I think Riddick, like the last 5-star that a linebacker was Papo. So, yes. I think that's a legitimate comparison. Who are like some really highly recruited, highly rated guys that we sign? Derek Brown.
We had a linebacker a couple of years ago that was very high rated. Not the one you just mentioned, but another just like a big, heavy linebacker. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name. He's on that list of like the top 20. Certainly defensive rated defensive players we've signed. I don't know.
Right, we're going to need some listeners to help us think about this one. I'm going to go back and think about it, too. And then Jim goes on to say, it feels like we're going to start seeing top all-time recruiting lists with Hugh Freeze recruits like we've seen with Pearl. What are your thoughts?
I would love it. I would love it.
It's very possible the way the momentum's going. And,
hey.
And he – go ahead.
Your coach – 3 coaches ago, bringing in a whole bunch of great players was great back then, but it doesn't do anything now. If our current coach wants to break every record on recruiting, that's fine. That's fine. Pat Dye or Gene Chizik or somebody or Tuberville having a recruiting record doesn't help us today. Doesn't help us tomorrow. Bring them on. Let's go.
Amen. He says, P.S., I hope both of your moods are closer to 10 this week.
Oh, I think we determined that.
all right. Josh says, Merry Footmas to John Van at this great and celebratory time. I hope you're doing well. I'm not sure if you've seen the negative Bama boards about the recent activities and announcements. if not, I'll post a picture for your enjoyment. My question pertains to these type of posts. Do they just fill your heart with joy?
In my veins, man. I'm having a CT scan later this week, and I'm going to ask the nurse, instead of the contrast solution, could you just plug me into the Bama message boards? That'll work just as well. Just plug it in. Oh,
Sean Frewing coming out of there would just fill your heart with joy.
You'll be able to detect anything wrong with me with that stuff flowing through me. Oh, man.
Our next question is from Blake Yeager, who says, if John is still harboring his big feelings about our new coach, I can't help but think an in-home visit with Hugh Freeze would change his mind. If he could flip 5-star players from Georgia and Alabama, he could flip John Ringer.
Wow. Wow. All right. A little close to home, but okay.
And next question is from Rusty Owens. He says, guys, I know that Big Cat Weekend is a big topic of discussion, and rightfully so. I do have a question that may be worth a minute or two's discussion. As an Auburn graduate fan for over 40 years, I want Auburn to win at everything and will root for them to win at every sport. However, I want to know if it's rooting for everything wearing navy and burnt orange. Case in point, War Ready, a basketball team that started a few years back whose only claim to fame was the majority of Auburn players once played for Auburn University. Yeah. 3 tournaments in and they have 1 win to show for all the hype. Do we place our fandom on the line for a team that asks for our fandom on nostalgia alone?
All right, a couple of things. They didn't even used to be called War Ready. They changed the name to that because they had so many Auburn people talking about them and had so many Auburn players on their team. I didn't know they'd only ever won 1 game. That's pretty depressing. Number 2, they don't just ask for your support. They ask for money. Mm. They raise money. They put, if you look at their tweets, they're constantly having like a GoFundMe or whatever to, and there's nothing wrong with that, but just, I'm just saying they're asking for more than just your support. They're wanting financial support too. And so, and you know, if you want to support, that's great. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. Just saying that's a thing too.
That's fair. All right. And last question is from Auburn Elvis, who says, Dear John and Van, what is your 30-second elevator pitch you'd make to your bosses to get the Friday before Big Cat Weekend off as a holiday?
For those who celebrate, keep the day and keep it holy.
I think I would say, again, to me, signing day is always tough because I generally have to work and I'm looking at my Twitter feed like under the table during a meeting or whatever, trying to keep up with things. But I would say... you know, it's a Friday in the summertime. There's not a lot going on. It's probably a good time to maybe take a day off and everybody spend time with their family and shut down operations. I think that's a good thing to do. What do you think?
Everybody else spend time with your family. I'll be spending time at...
It's Big Cat Weekend 2023.
I want you to put the word out there. We back up.
There you go.
All right. That's it for listener questions. Thank you for all those. Those were good.
Yes, they were. That was very good. And our last stop, and see if we have anything to talk about on it. We'll get on out of here in just a minute. But first,
let's take a trip around the FTC.
Let's do it. So, there's one I haven't pushed yet.
Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
I don't know about worse, but it definitely was a big one.
Well, I have a topic for you.
Yes.
Have you seen the proposed end zone luxury seating area design online that Auburn released today. And please describe your reaction immediately upon seeing those computer generated designs.
You want my reaction?
I want it.
This is the worst.
No. I almost said at the beginning of the show that I considered lowering my fun meter rating because of those pictures.
Wow.
That's how unhappy they made me.
Wow. They're poor. They are. So the four little corner flower beds in our beautiful stadium, our stadium that on the outside is looking cheesy, has always looked cheesy on the western side, unfortunately, but now is looking even. The north side looks terrible. The west side looks bad. Our stadium gets by on its east and south faces right now. They've got to do something about that. But the east side always looks nice. The south side's okay. It's where they just put in the new statues. But they've taken those four flower beds in the corners of the, you know, between the field and the stands, those little insets. They've ripped out our beautiful flower beds, and they're transforming them into little seating terraces with tables and chairs. Like, two of them just look like a patio, like a cafe, outdoor cafe seating. And two of them have like those boxes, like if you took, you know, the area around the basketball arena mezzanine where you can sit at a long counter. They've made these boxes that you can sit at the counter in these boxes. And it's like, A, it's purely to make money, because B, it's being done by the company that does all that awful tailgating and the white tents you have to rent outside. Okay. C, it looks bad. D, you're gonna find people that are willing to spend that much money. I don't know how much it'll cost, but Lord knows.
Thousands of dollars a person.
Yeah. You're going to find people that are willing to spend that kind of money on that seating, and then people are going to throw stuff on them from up above, because you're surrounded all the way around by elevated
Them, you're in front of the visitor section.
Yeah.
So you're going to get it over there.
So you don't you're going to spend the thousands
Alabama
of dollars.
Fans or the Georgia fans are going to give those people crap?
You're going to spend thousands of dollars for the right to sit at in a little metal chair at a table at a football game and have people throw food and drink at you for 3 hours.
That students would actually do anything like this to people sitting in that area.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. So one of them is in the Auburn student section. One's in the visiting section, and the other two are on the other side of the field.
I just, aesthetically, I liked the flowers. I thought it was a good look in the quarters of the stadium. So I'm bothered by this. I almost considered lowering my fun meter score because the design is so cheesy.
The Auburn tweeted it out. Like, the official Auburn Twitter account tweeted it out. And I looked at all the reaction on there. It was universally negative. It was universally panned across the board. And they're probably still going to do it. People hate and criticize the tailgating thing, but they haven't gotten rid of it, have they?
Because it generates money.
Revenue. And you know what? Here's the thing. I understand what they're trying to do there, because it's the same kind of thing you see in our basketball arena, where it works, because you expect it in a basketball arena, and there are places you can do it appropriately without destroying. It's not just ripping out the flower beds. It just doesn't look good there. It's just a poor place. And the sight lines are terrible, because those things come back in. You're going to be watching the game through the gap, and you're going to be blocked by the concrete, by the stadium on both sides.
And people walk back and forth in front of you around that corner all during the game. The band does. The TV people do. The cheerleaders do. The visiting band does. It's not like you're going to be pure sight line of the field every minute of the day.
Never. And honestly, I mean, I don't know how they would have done it, but even if they had like left it elevated like the flower beds were up even with the stadium.
Then you'd be blocking the seats of the people around you.
Yeah, but at least if you elevated it some, it would look more incorporated into the stadium. Right now, it looks like they just set some tables and chairs out on the sideline. So, like, the water boy, the trainer, a couple of Gatorade, you know, containers, and then some tables and chairs. That's basically what it looks like right now. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
There's other ways they could have done it. And the other thing it reminds me of is when I've gone now to two of the MLS games in St. Louis. We have a new MLS team. We have a Taj Mahal, a gorgeous new stadium, basically paid for by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Their family owns this team. And it's gorgeous. It has every amenity that, like, Neville Arena has. It's the same kind of – that's this modern thing, right, where you have many multiple tiers of ticket costs, many multiple tiers of sections you can sit in and get different benefits and everything, right? I mean, that's the wave of the future. Just everybody going and sitting together like you're at the circus. You know, what we – in my history class, we call it the small D democratic – you know, entertainment, where everybody's kind of equal and you all sit there in the same little bleachers and watch something. Those days are gone. Go to a high school game if you want that. Those days are gone. This looks like they're turning Jordan-Hare into an MLS-type stadium like that, and I don't mean that in a good way. There's good things about it, and there's bad things about it, and it really balkanizes the crowd into different sections that are the rich, the poor, you know, and even the poorest are still have to be fairly well off to be able to go, you know, and that way it is now. So there's just so many things wrong with it. Aesthetically, it's wrong. Architecturally, it's wrong. Like you said, you're not going to be able to see anyway. You're in danger of being pelted by fans or visiting fans or opponents. There's just so many things wrong with it. So many things wrong with it.
And I think if because you're at ground level, if the action is down the sideline on the side you're on, the team on that sideline is going to be in the If they're up against the hash mark on the left side and you're on the left side and you're looking down, you're going to see the backs of the team standing up there. You're not going to be able to see like the pylon on the corner or a goal on the left-hand side. You're not going to be able to see it.
Well, and two questions. One, is that where you're supposed to sit the entire game in these little metal bar chairs?
Yes. Paid a lot of money to sit there. That's your seat.
Well, I'm going
to
say, or is it where you can go kind of like in the basketball arena where you have seats and then you can go down to that, you know, if you want to? Because that's kind of how it is in the MLS stadium too here. It's like there's places you can – you have your actual, like, seat in the arena and you can come up the stairs and there's, like, a couple of tables and chairs, you know, up on the balcony that you could sit at if you'd rather, like, to eat or whatever. But I was going to say, if it was that, why would you go down there, make a special trip down there to eat rather than just eating in your seat?
No, it's about – it's special area for special people for extra money.
Why not just put, like, recliner chairs down there?
Again, I went to a VCU women's basketball game years ago, and they had a couch on the sideline, and we had won some kind of fan contest. We got to sit on this couch, like at the end of the court, basically near the basket.
Yeah,
I got to sit there with my kids for the whole game, and it was a little too close because at one point I yelled at the ref, and they turned around and looked at me, and I was like, okay.
There you go. Well, see, here's the thing. If they gave these away as a special prize, that might be different. But these are like people are going to be paying. Like, you getting to sit in that couch is for a game is one thing. But imagine if the same people sat in it every game. You know what I mean? That's a different animal. All right. Well, we could go on all night about this, but I'm glad you brought it up, and we'll talk more about it. I'm curious. Let's hear the feedback from our listeners and patrons and stuff as to how they feel about it, because I'm curious now. All right, I think we've covered it. We got a good extra 15 minutes of the show because of that, more or less. So that's good.
I'd be interested to see other people's feedback. But.
I would too. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Warrior John,
Warrior Man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.